Podcasts out in podcast land. Yes, you are now tuned into the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat. And that tinfoil hat is extra tight this week. We'll find out why in just a minute. But thank you for joining me. My name is Tom Velasquez. Against everything of my inner being, against my better judgment, I'm going to do a show this week with a segment regarding the impeachment process. I tried not to. I did my somewhat political conspiratorial show last week. Very well received. But I don't want to overwhelm my audience. But I've always said from day one, I'm going to give my audience what they want to hear. John from Colorado, Karen from Wisconsin, Gwen from Ohio, Joe from Illinois, Owen from Indiana, Katie from Florida, Cassidy from where, North or South, one of the Carolinas, and Terry from Texas. Every single one of you and a bunch more emailed me this week. Just out of the blue, it was like everybody got together and said, we're going to email Tom and tell him this. But everybody said, Tom, you did your political show last week, and I told everybody it wasn't a political show, it was a conspiratorial show. But nobody listened to that. They said, Tom, you did your political show last week. Do not drop the ball next week. They were talking about the impeachment. They said, this is history in the making. I get it. I really get it. It's a historical event. They said, we want to hear your points of view. That's why we listen to the show, because we get a different point of view than we get from most places. Please do a show or at least a segment about the impeachment. And that's basically a synopsis of what a majority of the people said last week. The rest of the people, aside from the comment of the week, but the rest of the people were very, very impressed with the Epstein show. The Epstein show, you know, it opened a lot of people's eyes, I guess. A lot of people said, you know, I'm so tired of seeing these memes on Facebook. But you brought a couple good points that I didn't think of. So, hey, I opened some minds. But the one that really got me this week was from a lady by the name of Elise, and she's from Alabama. She started the email to me by saying, Tom, you are doing a service with your show, .. at times. After I read that first sentence, I'm like, oh boy, where's this going? She said, I'm not a political person. I don't have a belief left or right. In fact, I don't believe any politician. And to be honest with you, Elise, that's a good starting point. She says, I'm not a big fan of the paranormal. However, at times when I listen to your show, and I listen every week, at times you come across and say something enlightening that touches me. You see, I have been a studier and a believer in the esoteric for years now. And Tom, whether you want to believe it or not, you believe in that also. By the things you say and how you say them in your belief system in general. You believe in the universe. You believe in manifestation. You believe that we are energy and we cannot be destroyed. Now that can be misconstrued as spirit, as soul, in many other different religions, because all religions are based on the esoteric knowledge of our ancients. You get that, Tom, and I love listening to that part of the show that you do. With that in mind, I would love to hear your thoughts on what people listening to this show can do to increase their life force energy. Because we all have a life force. Some people may call it the energy that you and I believe in. Some people may call it spirit. Some people may call it soul. Whatever you call it, we all have one. And it would benefit every one of your listeners if you gave your thoughts on how to increase this energy, how to increase their soul, how to increase their spirit. I don't know, Elise, if I am the quote-unquote master of this topic, but I'll try. So the last half of the show, please stay with me, because regardless of what you believe, whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, an atheist, a Buddhist, or you just don't know, we all have an inner belief that there's something else, that we have inside of us an energy, because we are an energy. We're an electrical being. We all have this energy. Call it a life force, call it spirit, call it soul, call it whatever you want. Elise wants to hear my thoughts, and this is going to be a show about what my listeners want. So thank you for the letter or the email, Elise. If you want to contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. And when we come back, again, against my better judgment, and I do what I can to please my fans and my listeners, we're going to talk about the impeachment. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be no surprises as to where I'm going to lie on this debate here. But I'm going to give you points and reasons why I think this is a circus. So sit back, relax, open that mind. My name is Tom Velasquez. This is the Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back.
And I'm fighting for victory. Yeah, I'm fighting why it's burning, burning. We find a way. It's burning time to let go. We find a way. It's fucking time.
The holidays are coming, and those who live in Elgin, Illinois, want you to join in on their Hauntings Haunted Holiday Bus, a festive, frightful foray into the haunted history of Elgin. BYOB on their cozy coach bus to steady your holiday nerves as you hear tales of the Elgin Casket Company, Bluff City Cemetery, and the Channing School. Saturday, December 21st, 2019, from 7 to 10. That is Central Standard Time. At the Elgin Public House, 219 East Chicago Street in Elgin, Illinois. Come have some holiday fun at the Elgin Hauntings Haunted Holiday Bus. Tickets are only $29. How would you describe the world's greatest event? Well, it's costumes. It's holiday themed. It's for charity. There's no tickets, just a food donation. It's fun. It's a little bit of drinking. It's a little bit of singing. Hell, it's just one heck of a good time and not like anything you've ever seen before. Saturday, December 14th, from 5 o'clock p.m. to 2 in the morning on Sunday, Central Standard Time, in Plainfield, Illinois, The SantaCon, Plainfield 2019. Imagine yourself and hundreds just like you dressed as Santa Claus, just enjoying the night, partying, singing, dancing, and there may be a couple adult beverages involved, but regardless, it's for charity. Saturday, December 14th from 5 to 2 a.m. in the morning. If you're anywhere near Plainfield, Illinois, you owe it to yourself to be a part of SantaCon 2019.
My fate is sealed with no cards, trapped in a room with no walls. I'm going down along with this feeling like. But I wish you, it's all I know. I'm seeking facts, it's still afloat in my heart. I know my love is for you. All I know, what I feel is real. How I know, I just know it's real. All I know.
All right, so here comes the impeachment segment of the show. Now, it should come as no surprise to anyone listening to this show where I'm going to fall on this whole impeachment thing. But I would also like to give you my reasons why I am falling where I am on this impeachment thing. So here, everybody on the planet knows where we are, how we got to this point, right? We know that the Democrats are saying Donald Trump talked to the Ukrainian president and was offering a quid pro quo. In other words, you guys, if you want this $400 million in aid, you will investigate Joe Biden, who just happened to be at the time the number one contender for the Democratic nominee for president. Which, I guess a quid pro quo, if that's what happened, would be... yeah, that could be it. However, the transcripts, they came out. And I understand transcripts can be maybe a little bit manipulated. I get that. However, here's my first issue. Well, my biggest issue with this whole thing is Adam Schiff. This guy is a complete weasel. Now, I want to play for you exactly how he manipulated public opinion and, unfortunately, media opinion on this transcript. And that allowed the impeachment process to go further. Let me play for you the audio by Adam Schiff as he relates the transcript that Donald Trump had with the new Ukrainian president.
President Zelensky, eager to establish himself at home as a friend of the president of the most powerful nation on earth, had at least two objectives: get a meeting with the president and get more military help. And so what happened on that call? Zelensky begins by ingratiating himself, and he tries to enlist the support of the president. He expresses his interest in meeting with the president and says his country wants to acquire more weapons from us to defend itself. And what is the president's response? Well, it reads like a classic organized crime shakedown. Shorn of its rambling character and in not so many words, this is the essence of what the president communicates. We've been very good to your country, very good. No other country has done as much as we have. But you know what? I don't see much reciprocity here. I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only seven times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it. On this and on that, I'm going to put you in touch with people, not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy. You're going to love him, trust me. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked.
So you listened to that transcript, and it's cut and dry. Donald Trump is a jerk, and it is a cut and dry quid pro quo. You give me dirt on my political opponent, and I'll give you the money. The problem is, the whole thing's a lie. First off, did you hear? I'll play it back for you, but did you hear when he says, listen to me, I'll say it seven times. You'll hear a laugh in the background because the people listening to this know this is ridiculous. This is like a poorly written bad B movie. Listen to this again. Listen to the person in the background.
And I'm going to say this only seven times, so you better listen good.
You hear the laugh in the background, the snickering, because this is an absolute joke. If you take the transcript, and listen, when I said I know transcripts can be kind of manipulated, they can, but there are multiple people in that room that can basically say, that's not how it went. So the whole impeachment proceedings started on a lie because Adam Schiff blatantly lied to the public and lied to the media, saying that Donald Trump said, don't call me back. I'll call you when I'm ready. Come on. Now, Donald Trump can be a jerk and he can be pretty abrasive, but come on. Do you really think we're that stupid, Adam Schiff? Now, he came out and said, yep, okay, yeah, I that wasn't exactly what he said. I was just doing parody. Great time to do parody at the beginning of an impeachment process. So you're going to make up things, completely fabricate things to make the sitting president the rightfully, lawfully elected president of the United States. You're going to make him look like an absolute arrogant asshole to better yourself, to press forward on impeachment, and nothing happens. It's a parody. I was just joking. Yeah, okay. I tell my boss to go jump in a lake, to go whatever. Boss, I was just joking. The media would give me a free pass. Why don't you? That's how the whole thing started. But really, if you look at it, they're going after Trump because the Russian investigation failed. It failed miserably, so they have to go through something. They have to go to something, so this is the next thing they did. The quid pro quo. And my biggest issue on this is Sleepy Joe Biden, who this whole thing revolves around when you think about it. Donald Trump knows that the Ukraine is one of the most corrupt nations in the world, on the planet. And I don't have an issue with him saying, look, clean up your corruption or we're not giving you this aid. And you can start by looking into this Hunter Biden thing. Because this thing reeks. This smells horrible, like there's something other than what we are being told going on. Now, that to me is not an issue. That's foreign policy. Who decides foreign policy for the country? The president. The president decides foreign policy. This whole impeachment process essentially is revolving around the fact that nobody likes, or the Democrats don't like his foreign policy. You can't impeach a president for that. The president dictates foreign policy. But at this point, we have to ask ourselves, is there something going on with Joe Biden, the front runner for the Democratic nominee for president, who will more than likely face off against Donald Trump? Should we be looking into this? Well, the Democrats say there's nothing there. Sleepy Joe, Creepy Joe, He has a different take on that. Listen to this. You may have heard this before, but listen to this. This is Joe Biden bragging, literally bragging and bolstering himself up, beating his chest and saying, yeah, I got this guy fired. Listen to this.
I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "Nah," I said, "I'm not going to, or we're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was what, 6 hours. I looked. I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch, got fired, and they put in place someone who was solid.
Well, son of a bitch, he got fired. So you are going to impeach a sitting president, or try to impeach a sitting president, for a very vaguely, thinly veiled quid pro quo, which really wasn't there. But you have Joe Biden going out and just bragging. Yeah, I put that $1 billion... right up there. If they don't fire this prosecutor who's prosecuting my son, who is investigating my son for illegal dealings in Burisma. That wasn't said. That's who the prosecutor was. He was the one investigating the Bidens and their whole dealings with Burisma. If you don't fire that guy, you're not getting the money. I'm here in 6 hours, or I'm leaving in 6 hours. If he's not fired, I'm taking the money with me. Well, son of a bitch. He was fired. And they put someone else in who was solid. And what do you think solid means? Solid means they're going to work with us. Where is the outrage of that? So we expect the Democrats and the media to not really hit on that. We expect that. But where are the Republicans all over the airwaves saying, what is this? This is a blatant. I mean, the guy's bragging about his quid pro quo. And nothing's being said about that. He's trying to be scot-free. He just created a website saying, well, there's no factual proof that my son was involved in any illicit dealings in the Ukraine. You admitted that he was involved. You admitted that there was a quid pro quo. You admitted that you had that guy fired by holding out $1 billion. And Donald Trump is being impeached? Now, granted, Joe Biden isn't holding any public office. Now, I get that. I do. But where's the outrage? Where are the questions from the media? Where are the questions from the Democrats? They're not there. The Republicans obviously aren't jumping on this because this should be front page news on every newspaper, every internet site, anywhere, any television station. But it's not, because the Democrats get a free pass. And listen, if you're a Democrat, you have to look at this and realize, yeah, he got a free pass on this because you're holding Donald Trump's feet to the fire for not even an eighth of what this guy just blatantly bragged about doing. But yet, nobody's holding him accountable. That strikes me as odd. So now, the House has voted to start the impeachment inquiry on Donald Trump. And it started off as, the Republicans aren't allowed in on any type of investigation and any interview. We're going to interview our people that we want to interview And then we're going to release the transcripts of those interviews to the public without Republican input or having the Republicans look at it. So they have no idea what was said. So, of course, all of these transcripts are released and they are just painting a dire picture if you're a Donald Trump fan. Oh, my gosh, this is going to be a slam dunk. All of these witnesses here, these people have everything on Donald Trump. Well, then we have the whistleblower, Eric Charamella. Eric Charamella. That's the whistleblower. Adam Schiff says he doesn't know who the whistleblower is, which is an absolute unequivocal lie because it's pretty much been proven that he had contact with the whistleblower and his staff had contact with the whistleblower. But he continues to deny any knowledge of who the whistleblower is. The whistleblower has a lawful right to remain undercover, that we don't want to reveal who the whistleblower is. No, that's not how the whistleblower law works, unless you're a Democrat. Now, when you're a Democrat, the whistleblower law means you can say anything you want and remain anonymous, never having to answer for what you say. So you can make up anything. You can say anything you want. Now, the way it's lawfully supposed to work is if you make a claim like this against, in this situation, against a sitting president that may impeach him, remove him from office, you are expected to be able to account for your actions and account for your words and account for your claims against the president. What cannot happen to you is any retaliation. That is how the whistleblower law works. But the Democrats have chosen to disregard that and make their own little set of rules. And now we're at the impeachment hearings, led by none other than the man that completely, knowingly, and admitted to lie about the transcript. He's leading this charade. There's problem number one. But now they have their quote-unquote star witnesses. Those witnesses on the first day were William Taylor, a diplomat to Ukraine, and George Kent, who was a State Department official in charge of Ukrainian policy. And both men said they had other people tell them what was heard on that telephone call. Well, the problem is none of those people that quote-unquote heard what were on that telephone call were actually in the room. One was eavesdropping. So you've got a person that is eavesdropping, has no idea what is being said on the other side of the phone, on the other line, has no idea, is just taking a one-sided conversation and turning it into whatever they want. Then on the second day, you have Marie Yovanovitch, the former Ukrainian ambassador that was let go by Donald Trump, who has and who has said she has a grudge and an ill will towards Donald Trump. She hasn't talked to anybody in the White House in years, but yet she was privy to this conversation. Why? Because she talked to somebody who knew somebody that heard the conversation. So this whole impeachment process right now, the Democrats' star witnesses, the first three witnesses that were supposed to be a slam dunk, Donald Trump's going down in a ball of flames. What we got out of it is that, well, I heard from this person that that's what was said. And I feel that that is how it went down. I feel that that should not have been said that way. Well, first of all, you are basing an impeachment process, an impeachment of a U.S. president, on hearsay. Complete and utter hearsay. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Journalism and the law, the law of the land are going to shit. Imagine this was a murder trial. And your star witness, the one that was going to just be a slam dunk to put that murderer behind jail, their whole testimony was, well, I know somebody who says he killed somebody. He killed that person. Yeah. Did I witness it? Was I there? No. But they said that he did. Well, who did? Well, I can't say. I really can't say who it was because I don't want to bring them into the public light. But let me tell you, they said that he killed them. But you weren't there. No, I wasn't there. I did not witness it. This is all hearsay. Imagine being convicted of murder on a baseless accusation like that. Because so-and-so said, and listen, everybody that has said something of ill will towards this president has been proven to have ill will towards this president. So there is, by all means, there is a political agenda here. So we have established that Adam Schiff started and basically based this whole impeachment process on his own parody. Then we've learned that Joe Biden has basically gone out and bragged that, yeah, I got the prosecutor who was going after my son fired, or I wasn't going to give the Ukraine $1 billion. I had that authority. You don't have that authority. You're not the president. We'll call him. Well, son of a bitch, he got fired 6 hours later. Tell me that's not a quid pro quo, but that's okay because he's a Democrat. The media will let that one go. And then we learn that all of these star witnesses, none of them were there. You are basing this whole impeachment process on hearsay. And listen, doesn't this reek of Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation? Everything was hearsay. The Democrats are so, they're just grasping at straws, trying to get Donald Trump and his quote-unquote cronies out of office, that they're just going to start making stories up and hoping one of them sticks. The Russian hoax didn't stick. The Judge Kavanaugh rape claim in high school didn't stick. And as Devin Nunes said, well, I'll let Devin Nunes say it the best, because this was during the first 2 days of the impeachment inquiry. This was the best line I think anybody had, because it's absolutely true. Devin Nunes, listen to this.
What we will witness today is a televised theatrical performance staged by the Democrats. Ambassador Taylor and Mr. Kent, I'd like to welcome you here. I'd like to congratulate you for passing the Democrat Star Chamber auditions held for the last weeks in the basement of the Capitol. It seems you agreed, witting or unwittingly, to participate in a drama. But the main performance, the Russia hoax, has ended, and you've been cast in the low-rent Ukrainian sequel.
He's absolutely right. I mean, how many times can you go after this guy and find nothing? And if the first 2 days are any indication, there is nothing there. But Adam Schiff, in his power, in his glory of being the head of this whole charade, has now taken control over how this is going to go down. And it is. And listen to me. If you are a Democrat and you have been watching this, you, in good conscience, cannot sit back and say, this is a fair hearing. Because this is not a fair hearing at all. I remember when I was younger, I don't even know what channel it was on, but I would watch the British House of Commons. They would go back and forth and they would yell at each other, and it was such an escapade. I thought it was the greatest thing on earth. These grown men shouting and yelling and rah, rah, rah. This is what is happening in America right now. You have Adam Schiff up there with his gavel. You are denied. You are not recognized. You are not recognized. Just, this is, I'm in power. I'm in power. I have the power. I will tell you when you can talk, what you can talk about. He is in control of the whole thing, which, you know what, if he's the head of it, that's fine. They're making rules up as they go. And if they don't like the rules, they change them. They change the laws because they can. This is an absolute kangaroo court right now. Trust me. Let me give you an example. Adam Schiff. And this is just a microcosm of the absolute tyranny that he has with his gavel. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik of New York is trying to make a point, and he just interrupts her and says, point of order was, it was not proper. Listen to this.
Chairman, I have a parliamentary inquiry.
The gentlewoman is not recognized.
Not recognized.
I do want to comment.
Chairman, I have a point of order under HRES 660.
The gentleman will state her point of order.
The point of order is, will the chairman continue to prohibit witnesses from answering Republican questions as you've done in closed hearings and as you did this week when you interrupted our question?
I'm not going to allow you to ask that question.
We'll suspend.
Mr. Chairman, I have a
gentleman's not recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of order.
Gentleman's not recognized.
I have a point of order.
Gentleman's not recognized.
Not recognized.
I do want to respond. I allowed the ranking member to.
I have a point of order.
Gentleman's not recognized.
Mr. Chairman, there are four transcripts that have
I have a
released.
Gentleman is not recognized.
Holy
ranking
cow.
Member was allowed to exceed the opening statement.
So this guy, when the camera focuses on him, he's just got that smug, arrogant look. I've got a gavel. I'll use it. And anybody that says anything that he doesn't agree with or doesn't want that out and doesn't want those questions asked to his star witnesses, out of order. Point out of order. Nope, not going to ask it. Not going to listen. Gentleman not recognized. Gentleman not recognized. Gavel. Gentleman not recognized. This isn't the way it's supposed to work. You have to allow both sides to have a say. And right now, the Republicans do not have a say in this because Adam Schiff is just behind his gavel like Judge Judy giving him the dirty eye. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, Ms. Stefanik again caught the wrath of Adam Schiff.
Ms. Stefanik, you had a few quick questions for the ambassador. I'll yield to you, Ms. Stefanik.
Thank you, Mr. Nunes.
Oh, no.
Ambassador Yovanovitch, thank you for being here today.
The gentlewoman will suspend.
What is the interruption for this time? It is our time.
The gentlewoman will suspend. You're not recognized. Mr. Nunes, you are Minority Counsel.
I just recognize.
Under the House Resolution 660, you are not allowed to yield time except to Minority Counsel.
The ranking member yielded time to another member of Congress.
No, that is not accurate.
You're gagging the
young lady. That is accurate.
You're gagging.
Ambassador Yovanovitch, I want to thank you for being here today.
Gentlewoman
will
suspend. Not recognized.
This is the fifth time you have interrupted members of Congress, duly elected members of Congress.
The frustration comes through.
Mr. Chair, we control the time. It's been customary to this committee that whoever controls the time can yield to whoever they wish. If we have members of Congress that have a few questions, it seems appropriate that we be able to let Ms. Stefanik ask her question.
So Nunes, you or Minority Counsel recognized.
What a little whiny, pardon my language, what a little whiny bitch. Devin Nunes is saying, hey, during every other proceeding, the ranking member is allowed to give other members of Congress time if he yields it to them. And what is Adam Schiff's response? Mr. Nunes or any other minority member, you're recognized. As in, like, oh, I'm too good for you. What a whiny little bitch. And this is what's going on. The rules are being made up as they go. Obviously, Ms. Stefanik from New York has some legitimate and very good questions for the quote-unquote star witnesses. Well, those may look very bad to Adam Schiff. So, she doesn't get to talk. That's how this whole thing works. Now, Republican, Democrat, to all my Democrat friends out there, and I call you friends because you are, you can't honestly look at this and say, this is right. This is the way things should be. Because this is so one-sided. Adam Schiff has got his gavel, and he's got control. And he's making the rules up as he goes. You know, what we all had that kid in elementary or middle school that was losing the game, and all of a sudden he changed the rules so he could win that game. Well, that's Adam Schiff right now. He's losing the game. These three witnesses, they were nothing. They had no firsthand knowledge of any conversation that Donald Trump had. They just heard from other people. And then one guy said, well, this person I talked to was eavesdropping on that conversation. Well, you only heard one side of the story, dummy. And these are their star witnesses. Now, it's up to the Democrats that have some sort of resolve and some sort of character to see beyond this circus, this kangaroo court, and say, there's not enough to impeach this guy. Because obviously there is not enough to impeach Donald Trump because he didn't do anything wrong. Everything you've heard is hearsay. So Elizabeth Slotkin, Gary Peters, all of you Democrats in my district, and you can go wherever you are and ask the Democrats in your district, how do you vote on impeachment? Do you really honestly think that there is enough, that you, your fellow constituents in the Democratic Party, yet you proved beyond the reasonable doubt that there was a quid pro quo, that there's enough to impeach this president? Do you really believe that to be the case? Because any rational thinking human being at this point would say, there's nothing there. So now we'll see who votes just along party lines, just because I'm a Democrat, I'm going to vote with them, or they vote with their conscience in what they see. In other words, they would go back to their constituents and say, hey, this is why I voted not to impeach him. There was nothing there. But now you go back to your constituents if you voted to impeach him and say, this is why I voted to impeach him. Why? What was there? What, other than the fact that he's Donald Trump, what was there to give you enough evidence to impeach him? There's nothing. There's nothing there. The Democrats are hiding witnesses. They're hiding the whistleblower. Adam Schiff is an absolute lunatic liar. And this is a sham. The Democrats at this point should be ashamed of themselves. They should just say, look, give it up. If you are a Democrat listening to this, you have to say, give it up. We'll take our chances on the election. Because this is doing more harm to the Democrats than any good. Because the people in this country, they're tired of it. They're starting to see through the charade. And they're starting to see that the Democrats, what have you done? Your whole point of existence for the last 3 years has been to impeach this lawfully elected president. But what have you done for me? You gave me all these promises that you were going to do something. What have you done? Nothing. Nothing. That's my take on the impeachment after 2 days. It's just an absolute farce, an absolute charade, an absolute kangaroo court. And with its ringleader, Adam Schiff, that literally should be just kicked out of his position due to the fact that he blatantly, knowingly lied about a conversation. As far as I'm concerned, this is like a coup. This is treasonous, what they're doing. Send them to jail. Let's clean house. Let's just get all of these, just get them all out. The unlawful, the corrupt politicians. Get them out of office, please. Start over. Start with how, get it back to how it was supposed to be. Bring your farmer in for 2 years. Have him be your representative and actually be a representative. 2 years, that's what you got. And then go back and start your life over again. Start farming again. You didn't live high off the hog, spend your career doing this. Get them out of there. Vote somebody new. God. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about what Elise from Alabama wanted to talk about. Don't leave. I know it's not the political aspect you wanted to hear. It's probably not the paranormal aspect you wanted to hear, but this involves everybody because we all have an energy source. You call it what you want, and I'm going to tell you how to feed it and how to make your life better. Sit back, relax, open that mind up nice and wide. I don't care if you start meditating. You're listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
Said you were looking for some kind of closure. Never gonna find it here. Can you read the atmosphere? I'm not looking for any excuses for you to come over. Trying to think of what it is that could have gotten you like this. But I'm in love with the way that you say my name when you're talking about how we could have been lovers. How could I have ever thought this?
Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
But you already know what it is. Why you tripping, flipping out like I'm a chauvinist pig? Hoping that this could turn to what was never meant to be. I've been honest from the jump. You were chasing misery, living a lie. Should've picked a different guy. Heart emojis turned to tears in a blink of an eye. Said it was cool, we only in it for the fun of it. Rough sex, cuddling, nothing in public. Must have been extra rounds, make you wanna settle down. Used to bounce when we were done, now you wanna stick around. I get it, the dudes you used to don't move the way the malls do.
All right, Elise from Alabama wanted me to talk about this, and it is my duty to do so. She's a listener of this show, and I try to please my listeners. So, life energy. You can call it what you want. You can call it life energy. You can call it your chakra. You can call it your spirit. You can call it your soul, whatever it is. There is no doubt that within us all, there is an energetic being. We as a person are not who we appear to be. This body we have is just an outer shell protecting our inner soul or our energy life. We need to feed that life. And, you know, Elise seems to think that I am very esoteric, and I'd like to think that I'm at least in tune with who I am. So we have a life energy, but we need to know how to connect with it. So I have 11 ways to enhance our life energy, our spirit, or our soul. Now, some of these I do, some of these I could do more, but the first and foremost thing that we can do to enhance our person, who we really are, is meditate. Coming into ourselves fully is another way of calling meditation what it is. By being fully present within the quiet place within, we invite our life force. Again, call it what you want, life force, spirit, soul, karma, chakra, life energy force. Invite that life into you and into your creation. How do you do that? You meditate. Meditation is simple. It's hard at first because you have to quiet your mind. And for me, that was the hardest thing to do, is to sit quiet. Because I can sit. Trust me, I can sit well and do nothing. But it's keeping that mind quiet, That's the hard part. But when you do that, when you quiet that mind, things start to make sense a little more. That's the only way I can describe it. Things fall into place. The really big things in life, the worries in life, don't seem like worries. If you don't meditate, please start to meditate. We also need the breath of life. Now, the breath is our connection to the source, and it's a way we continuously bring life force into our body. Conscious breath allows our energy to be experienced directly. Now, you take a deep breath into your body, and the unconscious feeling and thoughts that reside there are able to shift. This transformation gives stagnant energy momentum as it can be released for a better purpose. In other words, take a deep breath. You know, how many times have we been told, just breathe, take a deep breath, calm down? That's what it does. Deep breaths calm us down. Take a deep breath. And when you're in a stressful situation, take a deep breath. It works. Trust me. I used to be the biggest worrywart in the world until I started following what my life energy does. You got to, and this is where I fail completely. Eat high vibe foods. As living beings, it only makes sense to eat living food. Fresh, organic foods that are cultivated with love and receive the bounty of the elements will likewise bring these vibrations into our bodies. Our whole existence is vibration. We vibrate. The earth vibrates. Everything around us vibrates at a different frequency. When we eat living things, in other words, plants, and I guess animals. I'm a big animal eater. I love animals. They're so good. I'm not a big fan of plants because I don't think they taste too good. You put enough sugar and salt on them, I guess cheese maybe. That'll make anything taste good. But living beings, and I know what I'm saying here, plant life. We were designed to eat plants. Our teeth are not designed to be carnivores. Our teeth are designed to be herbivores. I'll get into that next week a little bit. But eating those foods that vibrate at the same frequency that we do brings us into a high vibe frequency. And the more we vibrate, the better we feel, the better we are. Affirmations. Now, how many of you remember Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live? He'd sit in front of a mirror. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me. Affirmation. That's what an affirmation is. And it goes into the esoteric area. That if you start believing and start telling yourself something, you can manifest it. Absolutely. I remember when I was younger, when I was first married, I wanted to live by this in this house, this particular house that my wife's cousin lived in. It was right by this church. It was in a great neighborhood, and I just wanted it so bad. And I kept thinking to myself, I'm going to get that house. We're going to get that house. We couldn't afford that house, but somehow we got that house. And then just later on in life, I started manifesting and thinking of things, and it's affirmations. Wake up in the morning. Trust me. Wake up in the morning and just tell yourself, today's going to be a good day. Today's going to be great. I'm going to get through today. You know, if you struggle with depression, start telling yourself, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get through today. It's going to be a good day. Affirmations. Remember when I mentioned a couple episodes ago, spelling? You cast a spell on somebody? A spell is spoken word. Abracadabra is basically a way of saying words spoken manifested into reality. And that's an affirmation. continue to tell yourself what you want. And eventually it's going to come true. Simple one. We've all heard laughter is the best medicine. And laughter is the best medicine. Laugh. Laugh, love, and be around people who you love. The more you laugh, the better you feel. The better you are. My wife is a complete and indicative truth to that statement. She laughs all the time. And she is persevering. She's not ready to go. And she's going to laugh. She's going to love. And that's what we need to do. This world, trust me, would be a better place with laughter. You need to have loving actions and a loving being. And what is that? A loving being is who you are inside. You need to love. First, love yourself. You are an individual. You may not be the slimmest. You may not be the fittest. You may not be the best looking, most wealthy. But you know what you are? Unique. There's no one on this planet like you. There may be people that kind of look like you, but they are not you. You have your own looks, your own personality. You are one in a billion, 7 billion, 8 billion, however many people are on this planet. There's no one like you. Accept that and just wrap your arms around that and love that. You are who you are. Love your being. But more importantly, love everyone else. If you exude love, love will come back to you. If you exude hate, all you're going to get is negativity. Constantly. Trust me, I know. You have to love one another. Live your passion. My passion right now is podcasting. It's music. And I do my best to live it. I have to have a job. Is it my passion? No. Do I want to sit behind a desk and tell people what's wrong with their cars and try and tell them that you need to spend this money? No. That's not my passion. That's my job. That's what makes me a living. These are my passions. My family. My wife. Those are my passions. Live it. Find something you enjoy and live it. That will increase your life energy force. Be in your body. Now that's a tough one. Many of us are disconnected from our physical being. We need to get into our body. And how do you do that? Meditation. You do that by just talking and being with yourself. It is not a bad thing to be alone every now and then. It is not a bad thing to just sit and relax. And when I do that, I meditate. And I just get into who I am. In order to increase your life energy force, please learn who you are. Know who is a toxic relationship and end it. That is the biggest thing I can tell you right now. Toxic relationships will destroy you. They destroy you from the inside out. Know who is your toxic relationship and either let them know you are toxic and you need to change. And if they can't, get rid of them. And unfortunately, many of us have toxic relationships within our family. You have to get rid of them. Toxic is the key word there. They're no good for you. I am short by two. I will finish those up last week. I've got to keep this under an hour. I'm at 59:30. So let me know what you think. What do you think of the impeachment process? Let me know what you think of your life energy. Is there something you do to increase your life energy? Let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Thank you for listening this week. I will be back next week. I hope you enjoyed this show. My name is Tom Velasquez. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot.